the Gospel of Luke and the last few verses. From verse 45, then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, this is chapter 24, Gospel of Luke, verse 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. The theme of the Ascension that we remember today on Ascension Day is a most glorious thing, and understated, I feel, very much. There's that tremendous sense of awe here that as the Lord Jesus Christ was taken from him, they worshipped him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And this, don't forget, is 10 days before Pentecost. They hadn't yet received the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and yet they were still, on account of his ascension, following on, of course, from his death and resurrection, to which it's very closely associated. So the article in the prayer book sees on page 612 in a version of the prayer book, we see of the resurrection of Christ, article 4, it says that Christ did truly rise again from death, and took again his body with flesh, bones, and all things appertaining to the perfection of man's nature, wherewith he ascended into heaven, and there sitteth until he returned to judge all men at the last day. So the resurrection, the ascension, as it were, holds together the resurrection, the seating of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, and his return to judge all men at the last day. These things, it's the ascension that joins these things, as it were, together under the title of the resurrection of Christ. When Elijah was taken up into heaven in that passage we read in 2 Kings, it was also a type of an ascension, but it hadn't followed on from a death and resurrection. That's what gives the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ its special power, that it's the died and resurrected Lord Jesus who ascended into heaven. See, in some ways, the fact that he came and went, he could have just come to earth and then ascended again. But no, he was born and died and rose again and then ascended. He didn't just appear and go. He came to do his perfect work, to offer himself as a sacrifice for sin. So the ascension is part of the sealing of the resurrection. And there should be this great sense of awe that surrounds it. In some ways, it's a harder thing to believe than the resurrection, if you like. Because you can think, well, somebody died and rose again. And people well, they exaggerate these stories about that sort of thing happening. But to ascend into heaven, you think, well, he's above all the heavens. It's just a marvelous thing to comprehend that Christ is there. So that brings us really, this is fairly brief really, to the second point, that he ascended, and as our creeds have it, all of our creeds, that we just turn, for example, to the page is gone, here we are, the creed on page 12, it says, he descended into hell, the third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, this great throne of the Lord Jesus Christ, his seating in heaven, that is, like the resurrection, so closely associated with his ascending into heaven. He ascended there and then sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. These things are the plain, as it were, facts of the plain historical facts, as it were, but they bring us to heavenly things here, the seating of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it puts it in, between a Bible and a prayer book here, the Psalm 68, which is taken up in Ephesians 4. Let's just refer to the Ephesians 4 references here that describe describing what the Lord Jesus did. Ephesians 4 from verse 8. Wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He took captive the powers of hell and of death and of sin, and from his ascension he gave gifts unto men. This was indeed to come greatly at Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit was poured out, and from where the Lord Jesus continues. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. What a wonderful description of the Lord Jesus above all heavens. You think, well, where is he? Here we have it, above all heavens. We don't expect to find him if we go searching in a spaceship or sending out powerful things. He's above all heavens, that he might fill all things. With the Father, above all. And so then it goes on to explain how he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So it's from heaven that the Lord Jesus Christ sends his gifts. He sends his Holy Spirit, and he appoints churches to be ordered with ministers with various different tasks for the benefit of the people of God, so for the perfecting of the saints. It's hard to think that a poor, fallible creature a creature who's a preacher could be involved in the perfecting of the saints. But this is the aim of the ministry of God, to edify, to build up the body of Christ, till we all come to one day to be with him. Now, so this is his role. He's seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And we ask, then we're told to pray to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to send his Holy Spirit. That's how the three persons work together. So this is why the ascension is such a marvelous thing. It's a glorious ascension that the Saviour was fully delivered out of this evil world. He rose from the dead. He was there those 40 days. That was a very important time that he appeared as giving himself, showing himself to the disciples. But then, 40 days, he ascended into heaven where he now sits. Until, as Psalm 110 puts it, his enemies become his footstool. There is there will be a completion to this time where the Lord Jesus Christ is separate from his people. Well, separate from some of us. Some we know have gone before us, and even in this last year, we know of several of our friends and family who have gone ahead of us, and others perhaps very near. All of us, we don't know our day when we will be taken, but we are sure that to be absent from the body, from the people of God, is to be present with the Lord. It states in the prayer book that we don't yet have his glorious body. Again, it's actually in the burial service on page 333. It says, ensure a certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our barred body, that's when he returns at the general resurrection, that it may be like unto his glorious body. That's the hope. According to the mighty working whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself, there. This great power and authority that's given to him to let his enemies become his footstool. All things are subdued unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonder that the world today has ceased to stop for Ascension Day and to wonder and marvel at this glorious authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, who reigns above all until he makes his enemies his footstool. It's a very reassuring part of our faith for us. And then the other part that comes from our creed, it's in all three creeds again, is that there is a return there. He who ascended, he's already descended the first time, he came as the Saviour. And when he comes again, second time, he returns, as it says, get these exact words of the creed, he ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come, from heaven, he shall come from heaven to judge the quick, that is, the living, he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. And this is the day to which we look forward to. And the ascension, it reminds us, we think Jesus has gone. It was a terrible day in many ways it's just a little while. Yes, a little while, and you will see me again. And it really will seem like a very short time and compared to eternity it is. So we play, as it were, a waiting game. Two books open here. First Thessalonians. This having to wait for Christ is very important. It's not an excuse for laziness. We're supposed to be working in one way or another. First Thessalonians speaks. Verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, a very active Christian life of serving the living God. This is describing these very godly people in Thessalonica, in Greece, now it will be Greece today. For yourselves, let's just and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So there's a wrath to come, but that those who are in Christ, trusting upon his blood and righteousness, turning, as it were, from idols. Many idols of today are not the same as literal idols of wood and stone, but the human heart idolizes whatever it can. And yet, we are to turn to God, as the Thessalonians did, from idols, to serve the living and true God. That's the great part. But then this waiting, to wait for the Son from heaven. We need patience to wait for him. And as I say here, it's a big part of the Christian faith. It should be a big part of our belief system, as it were, if you call it, of our faith, of our creed, is that we're waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. We don't behave like the people of the world who battle and fight. There's a Christian fight to be fought, for sure. But we have a calm, a confidence, if we're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, that when he comes, his enemies will be made his footstool. He will finish them. And yet, for his people, he comes to bring us to his everlasting kingdom, to give us glorified bodies like his glorious body, to change us. Note in the Nicene Creed, which is said in our communion service on page 241. If you look that up in the prayer book here, this is all taken from Scripture, but it's good to see it in our how it's used in our services, in our, both our articles of religion and also in the services themselves. Page 241. Says that it just changes, it adds to the words, but he ascended into heaven, sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again, and adds this in this little expression, with glory, to judge both the quick and the dead. He doesn't just come to judge the quick and the dead, he comes with glory. We know, we're promised in the Scriptures, he comes with all his people who've already gone to be with him, all his angels, and with glory. It's going to be wonderful. We're those who wait for his appearing then, which will be a glorious appearing. And then it goes on to say, to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. So this is the final state, as it were, to come. Whose kingdom shall have no end, and all his people will be with him forever with the Lord. So I'm turning them back to the Athanasian Creed, just to conclude. Back to the Athanasian, and at the end of the Athanasian Creed, it describes it like this, at the top of page 30, which we just read indeed. At whose coming, all men shall rise again with their bodies, and shall give account for their own works, and they that have done good shall go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire. It's really a very fearful thing. Now you say, well, I've not done any good, I'm never going to be good enough when the Lord Jesus Christ appears. This would be a fearful thing. Now the thing that we're told that is good, what is the work of God, is to believe on the Son of God. Of course, we're all sinners. I preached to you here. We all fall short of the glory of God. None is justified by their works. And we need faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only means of justification, the only means of being counted righteous. You see, the great work that's impossible for the natural man is to confess that he's a sinner, to confess that there's no good thing that dwells in him, to confess that it is only God that is good, that there's none good but God. These are all, I'm compiling you various texts here that come to mind from the scriptures, that we must trust only in the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the good work that's the fountain of all other good works that follow. Some of the good works are not as visible. Some people's works are very visible. They've done this in some foreign land and given so much money and all these sorts of things. But the person who's quietly trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, suffering affliction, being hard done by perhaps, being spoken of evilly and wrongfully, but yet quietly trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are good works while we are relying on the Lord Jesus Christ. So there we see the fruits of the Spirit are not the fruits of the world. They're not big and boastful. They're quiet. It's often someone doing something, not the other hand, doesn't know what the other hand's doing. This sort of thing, the fruits of love and joy and peace and patience, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, that a person has been born again because God has convicted them of sin and they have been humbled very much before God as being utterly unworthy and unrighteous and no good. But the good person is the one who's turned to Jesus Christ. That is the one thing needful. And so we wait upon him then. But we just marvel on this day. I tell you, these basic, as it were, basic doctrines of who Jesus Christ is, the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. You know who you've believed when you believed on the Son of God. And what he's done. He's come, he's taken on human flesh, as we've said in our Athanasian Creed, it's expressed so many of those things. Do have another look at that again and think on those things. And above all, that he laid down his life as a substitute, as a ransom for sin. He laid down his life for the sheep and all that come to him. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, are assured. This is the most marvellous thing, that we have got no place for trusting in our own works. There's no, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But the Lord Jesus Christ is, as it is in the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord our righteousness. That's the great trust we have in Jesus Christ. And in him, all who are in him have a love toward one another. It's a marvellous thing. It's a marvellous thing what God has done. And this Ascension Day, it's a very special place in the Christian church to remember this particular thing, that Jesus died, rose again, and then he ascended into heaven to reign until he comes again. When he comes, he comes. Indeed, our redemption draweth nigh, the redemption of our bodies. But yet he comes as the judge. Who can abide the day of his coming? Who can stand before him? Those who are covered with his blood, his robe of righteousness, who have trusting in just in Jesus Christ. It's a glorious, glorious salvation, and it's one in whom, when we've turned to him and trusted on him, we should be somewhat free from anxiety. I know there's worldly cares and things we've got to do and that, but we must set aside some time, day by day, to be able to thank God for his great salvation. And we must be waiting. And we've got to be busy. There's lots to do. But we've got to be consciously waiting for him to return. And we must be patient about that. He will deal with things. He will put all things very right. He will judge in a way that we're unable to. We can't see things as clearly as we meant to. But when Jesus Christ comes, everything will be dealt with and brought to this glorious a conclusion of his everlasting kingdom. So we have a very much to be very in awe of God for his ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be calling upon him while he's seated there to send his power, his converting power. So many living completely without any knowledge of God, and yet if God pours out his Spirit from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit pours out from heaven, sinners are converted. That's all what it's about. It's not about clever schemes or anything. We can preach and preach and preach, and we can give out millions of leaflets to everybody and talk to them, but if God's power of the Holy Spirit doesn't convert people, no one will be converted. We need to be very humble before, in awe of God, very humble and seeking him and trusting upon him that he has promised that he will come again. His people are quite safe in this world. We feel it's a very unsafe world. It's a terrible world, but the people of God are given a security in the promises of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all tied together to the ascension, and we praise the Lord. Let's just pray together once more. Our Father in heaven, Lord, how little we apprehend of thy glory, of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And Lord, how thou hast worked, and what a marvel it is that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. We thank thee, Lord, that he didn't just descend and then ascend again and just leave some kind of a message, but that he came and that he died as a sacrifice for sin for all who trust upon him. And we thank thee, Lord, that he ascended and he reigns above all the heavens, seated at the right hand of God, where even Stephen, in his death, could see him and trust upon him and commit himself. Lord, enable us to be committed to thee, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, reigning in glory. And Lord, send thy blessed Spirit, we pray, to make thy people holy, to bring sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust upon him. And Lord, we say with the scriptures, come, Lord Jesus. And as we wait upon thee, we say, the grace, we need the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. As the Bible concludes, we depend upon thy grace. Have mercy upon us the rest of this day. Do bless our fellowship over lunch help us with our deliberations afterwards. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.